We have as our special guest today Mr. Thomas Harms, who is actually a large carnivore biologist with the state of Alabama. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, so I guess what we want to talk about first of all is bears. You know, we've seen an increase in our population. First of all, tell us why that is. Why are we getting more bears?
There's some different theories on it. Of course, there's going to be that the fact that we have a growing human population that's pushing out into some woods in the area, especially in North Mobile and Washington County, into areas where there's been bears, but there wasn't people originally. So now you're starting to see more bears. You know, they haven't been hunted in Alabama in over 100 years, so they're a slow growing a population. The way they grow is very slow, but there's part of it. But also the increase, if any hunters know, there's been an increase in feeding of wildlife with corn being out there, and that actually helps the bear population a lot in reproduction. That gives them a real easy fatty food source, especially in a time where the female is going into den, and when she comes out of the winter, she's going to have cubs. So when you're feeding them, that's going to help their boost their reproduction. So instead of having maybe one or two cubs, they may have three or four cubs.
So it's pretty well documented that the population in North Mobile County and that area is good. I mean, you see a lot of photographs and human bear interaction. What about the rest of the state? Are there areas that are seeing an increase in bears?
Yeah, well, we'll start with the Mobile population. It is increasing. It's grown pretty well. There's still a lot to be learned about it, but genetic wise, it's been an isolated population for a long time. So genetically, they're slightly inbred to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. But then you have the Florida. It's not just the state of Alabama as a whole. The Southeast is booming. All the surrounding states are having a booming population, and which is infiltrating into Alabama. So in the Northeast, you have a number of bears coming in from Georgia that's starting to grow into a pretty good population in the Little River Canyon area, and then you also have the Florida bears that are coming in from the Panhandle that are going into Baldwin County and Escambia and Conecuh and what have you into that area.
You mentioned that the Mobile County bear population is sort of getting inbred. Do you guys ever capture those bears and move them to another part of the state?
Well, over the years, back in the early 1900s, they did a lot of moving animals. Since then, we've gotten away from taking an animal from somewhere and moving it, and we're trying to let things happen more on a natural basis instead of forcing something to happen. And moving one out wouldn't help, it'd be bringing a new bear in with new genes, kind of like they did in the Florida cougar panther population down there. They'd bring in new genetics to the Florida panther to help boost the genetic. But as soon as the Florida bears from the Panhandle start crossing that river, that should help the gene flow. So we just got but it's not a whole lot.
I remember several years ago, my buddy Clem Parnell was involved, and I guess he still is involved with bear research and stuff. And he documented the first bear being, you know, born in Baldwin County in about 50 years that since that had happened. And since then, the bear population in that area around Stockton and stuff has grown even more.
That's correct. And I know Clem, and we talk a little bit here and there, but the population in North Baldwin County has increased, and there's a corridor that comes from Florida. They're going through Perdido and Lottie in that area that crosses up to the Delta. And that population is doing pretty good.
So, well, Thomas, my wife and I hunt over in the Panhandle of Florida in Walton County, and we've actually seen quite a few bears over there while we were hunting. And there's been a number of negative human-bear interactions in the Big Bend area of Florida. Mm-hmm. So what can folks do if they've got bears on their hunting property or bears near their home? What can they do to safeguard themselves and make all these interactions they're having positive interactions?
Well, you got a couple, and Florida's a unique situation because Florida is cut into two different groups of people. And the groups in South Florida are more, they want to have the bears there, and they like to have the bears there, and they don't want to hunt them, and they want to, they like to feed them to mm-hmm. a certain degree. And then the ones in the panhandle are, you know, they like the bears too, but they want to be able to hunt them. And we have sort of the same thing in Alabama, but, the problem with bear interaction in Florida, the cases that you're talking about in Florida, is sort of somewhat of a self-inflicted wound, because you have the same situation in Satsuma and Criollo, where you have these communities are building into this area where you have large landowners, and then you have a subdivision that backs right up to it. And then in those areas, those bears have been there, but you put a deer feeder out there, or you have a dog food that you just leave out there, and it's too much for the dog to eat, and they don't finish it all one time. Or you take your stuff from your kitchen or something, instead of throwing in the garbage, you dump it out in the back, like, you know, you did back in the day, and something that draws in the bears. And when you do that, that's going to bring the bears to you, and they'll start seeing your home as a place to feed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a situation where I can take you down a road where there's a deer feeder behind almost every house along this road on both sides. And we have where the bear is taking her and her cubs, which she's teaching her cubs to do the same thing, where she goes from this house to the next house to the next house to the next house. And when they do that, they start losing their fear of humans. And that's where the conflict comes in. When they start losing that fear of humans and they start seeing humans as a resource for food, that's when it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The bears naturally have fear. When we walk out there to do our studies and trapping and what have you, the bears, you know, they take off. And it's fine. But when they start losing that fear, they still run off, but they don't run off quite as quickly. And that's where you start having troubles.
Same theory when it comes to feeding alligators.
Same exact thing.
99% of problem alligators is because the alligator has been fed by a human being. And the alligator learns a human being means food.
Exactly.
You know? So,
and if you go to most of those attacks in Florida, if you research it, most of it had to do with them used to humans and being fed.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida actually eventually passed a law where if you knowingly feed a bear, they'll give you a warning to start with. But if you keep feeding the bear and something happens, whether it gets into somebody's house or what have you, mm-hmm. that person is liable for what that bear did.
Good. That's good.
I'd prefer not to have – I'd prefer common sense to take over rather than have laws. But
you can't legislate common sense. That's
no, you can't, but, you know.
But
that would be my preference.
Yeah. I mean, if I was – living in a place like that with bears, and I had a feeder, and I discovered bears were coming to my feeder, and it was close to my house, I think I would just remove the dang feeder, you know. It's not, you know, I can't afford to feed bears, for one thing.
Yeah. No, they're going to eat a lot more than the deer are. And when it comes to feeding, with deer feeders, I'm not going to say for or against or whatever. That's each to their own. But when you're feeding, you got to understand the deer is not going to get all that corn. He's just going to get a small percentage of
right.
it. And especially that big buck that you're waiting on, he's getting a very, 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 very small percentage of it. You're going to be feeding squirrels, bears, raccoons. And if you got pigs, the pigs would definitely be there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. You know, it's a debated issue, but I often wonder if corn does more harm than good, but that's for another show, another day.
I think we actually have that coming up on one of our shows, don't we?
Yes, we
yeah,
do.
Yeah, we could definitely go on that. You know, whether there's biological, whether it's good or bad, and then there's ethical, whether it's good or bad. So it all depends on what angle you want to take.
Yeah, from a biological standpoint, though, is where I'm coming from, and especially when corn gets piled up in a pile, it rains, it sours, a turkey eats it, the disease they catch spreads through the whole flock, and they're gone.
Yeah, on a biological side, it's definitely corn is not a good thing. It's a negative thing, mm-hmm. and mainly like you're saying, it's you know, if you go to a well, like with if you have kids, young kids, if they're at home, they tend not to get sick as much. But as soon as you put them in a daycare or something where mm-hmm. there's tons of kids bringing in, you know, whatever sickness they have, he's going to get sick or she's going to get sick. Mm-hmm. Same thing with animals. You bring them all in at one spot, they're going to get whatever that animal has, whatever it is.
So getting back to bears, if someone sees a bear, whether they are known to be in an area or not, should they report that sighting?
We like taking reportings. You know, North Mobile in Washington County is not as big of a deal because we get those a lot. But, you know, we definitely would love for anybody to call and give reports, whether it's just a sighting or it's an issue with a bear, with it getting a trash can or something like that.
We've been talking with Thomas Harms, who is a large carnivore biologist with the State of Alabama Conservation Department. And before we took a break, Thomas, we were talking about reporting bear sightings. Do you have a phone number that we could give out?
Yeah, they can call me. My office is here at Five Rivers, 251-626-5474, or they can go to the Outdoor Alabama website. It's probably the best thing to do. And there's a spot on there you can go to for bears, and they can report there also.
That's 626-5474?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, Thomas, during the break, we were talking a little bit about some of your den observations that y'all make and studies that you do. Tell me a little bit about black bear dens in our area in Alabama. What do they use to den? Are they denning in trees, or what kind of habitat do they use?
Well, if you want, the easiest way to explain bears is they're just an oversized raccoon. A really big raccoon is all they are. They eat the same. They live in the same areas. They use uplands to feed, but they stay and use the bottom draws and as corridors, way to travel. And along these draws is where you find dens. They might be on the upland part, but it's going to be somewhere between the upland and the bottom. And there'll be this thick stuff and just thick brush, thick privet, or what have you. And in those thickets, they'll den up on the ground, and they'll build this, clear out an area, the female will, and she'll build this thing that looks like a nest. It looks like an ostrich nest or something. It's kind of egg-shaped, and that will be her den site. And that's where she'll stay, and she'll have multiple dens, and as they get older, she'll have other dens for as they grow. Other places would be a cavity tree, which we don't have a ton of huge trees with all the cutover we've had over the last century. Mm-hmm. It takes a long time to create a cavity tree that's big enough for a bear to stay in. But it could be a blown over tree. They'll get underneath the roots and what have you. Or like in North Alabama might be some of the cave areas where they have rock outcroppings.
Do the bears in our area, do they hibernate? Do they slow down and hibernate like they do up north?
They don't technically hibernate. They go into this deep sleep where they, on these days where we have a cold spell where it gets freezing or below, mm-hmm. for a day or two, or it's nasty and rainy, and they'll go into a kind of a sleep. And if you walk up to them, they're kind of that drowsy. They're not quite asleep yet. They're just kind
sounds
of kind of
that's kind of how Alan is on Mondays.
All day Monday.
You can poke him and he wake up. And
right.
That's the same thing with the bear. You just poke her and she'll wake up. But
well, you know, in Florida here recently, they had a first bear hunt, I think, in I believe it was about 20 years, and from my understanding, which I'm biased, I'll admit, it was an immense success. I mean, they took the number of bears they wanted to take out of the population. I think it was there were some problem bears that they got rid of, which was a good thing for everybody. But I mean, I did notice there was a lot of opposition from anti-hunters in the state, and they did stop that hunt, and you just told me that they're actually going to have that hunt again, but it's just going to be every few years, not every year.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to set it up, but they kind of, after that first hunt and the way it got some opposition from other people, they're kind of reestablishing. They're going to reset it up later.
And so, you know, Florida's got a season. Georgia, Tennessee, Arkansas has a season. And there are some populations of bears in the state of Alabama that are doing well, seemingly so. What do you think the chances are of, you know, in our lifetime, us seeing an Alabama bear season?
We'll see I believe we'll definitely see a bear hunt in our lifetime. I hate to put a date on or anything like that because you get held to that, but I don't know for sure. Right now, we're going through the research process, and we'll set up a management plan and then go from there. Because it's a resource for the state, the public, us as a whole, and it's a resource that we can use. And that can, you know, that applies to bear watching as well as bear hunting. So we'll definitely have a hunt eventually.
One interesting point is, unlike the alligator hunt, which is, you know, on public land, bear hunts will be mainly on private land.
Correct.
Well, it was interesting to hear kind of the catch-22 that you've got going on with feeding animals. It seems like feeding bears has actually helped the bear populations, but feeding bears has, you know, also causes problems with human interaction. And you told me something in the break there that, you know, when people begin to hunt bears respond to that by, you know, they realize they're being hunted, so they're not going to come to those bait stations as much or as often. Would you say that's correct?
They'll come to it, but they'll, you know, just like a deer on a food plot.
Mm-hmm.
That deer quickly learns I should not come in daylight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they'll come at night. It'd be sort of the same thing. Is they'll start limiting their human interaction.
So it seems like to me hunting would play an important part in managing a bear population because it would give them a fear of humans and not have these negative interactions with humans. That's what it seems like. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
It would. Anytime anything gets hunted, it puts that pressure on them and that fear.
Thomas Harms, we have really enjoyed this conversation. I learned a lot. I hope our listeners did, too. You have a Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for coming in today.
Y'all, too. Thank y'all for having me.